A lot of stuff going on for Gary, who we were killing in the last segment, but now we have to apologize.
Oh, wait a second. I didn't hear that.
Well, we said you at least got to show up with some Chick-fil-A or a peach, and he did just about that as we got these wonderful gift cards to Chick-fil-A, so he was not empty-handed. Gary, good morning, and thank you.
Yes,
man,
thank
I didn't
you.
Hear that rip job, so I should have held out.
Seriously.
Too late. I was rubbing it in because I actually had a Chick-fil-A sandwich at the SEC Championship game there at the Mercedes-Benz Dome Saturday after our halftime. It was good. That never
gets
old. That
ain't getting better than that, does it?
Oh, man, it's so good.
These stores up here in New York are killing it.
I
know.
There's always a long line.
I almost went by there this morning to get you guys, but now that I hear that you were ripping me, I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, yes.
I was going to walk in with the actual sandwich. Yes,
that would have been
unbelievable. I'll give him a coupon.
I'm surprised you're up this early. You got all these parties going on. You got the National Football Foundation and their College Football Hall of Fame deal tonight. And you had Vince last night with Steve Spurrier. He was being honored. I mean, you're still up bright and early.
I tell you, it's a great time to be in New York. You know, with everybody in college football just comes into the city. The coaches, the ADs, the conference commissioners, and you get a chance to see people you haven't seen during the year. So, plus, we all know our bowl games now. Everybody's happy about that. So, yeah, it's a great time to be in college football.
And you've got great teams and great storylines. You've got Auburn and UCF, and Scott Frost is going to coach the game, which is an interesting storyline. And Nebraska's so happy to have him. Like, they're happy that he's coaching the game, which is crazy. At least they are publicly. I know that you do the political stuff about you're going to be happy with whoever you get, but this particular matchup is a really, really juicy one, and one that is going to interest a lot of fans. I mean, you got to be thrilled about that.
It really is. I tell you, I went to the American Athletic Championship game down in Orlando, and I tell you what, that Milton kid puts the ball on you. I mean, he is excellent, and they really run the up-tempo offense. Scott does a great job with that. They're the number one scoring team in the country. Auburn's the 10th scoring defense in the country. So we got, you know, as they say in the old promoters realm, we've got a match. Mm. Auburn's offense is, you know, with Kerryon Johnson and Stidham, very, very good. So, hey, we're going to be sold out. It's our 50th anniversary. You know, we've got the only undefeated team left, Central Florida, and it's Cinderella's chance to dance. So they'll dance against the top 10 team in Auburn. SEC 7-1 in the SEC, so it's going to be for a great game.
Now, a couple years ago, you had Houston and Florida State.
That's right.
If my memory serves me correctly, and Houston dispatched of them. And I don't know, and you get in these bowl games and these perennial powers, they always say, well, we really didn't want to be there. We were hoping for a loftier bowl. Any concern with Auburn, and especially the way they played this last weekend versus Georgia in a rematch, that you have that type of mindset?
You know, you're right. Some people point to that, but I tell you, that year I went to every Florida State practice, and they were ready to play. Houston's defense was just really, really good. They got McGuire hurt. Florida State didn't have an answer for a second-string quarterback, and Houston just took advantage of it. They stopped Dalvin Cook, made their quarterback pass, and beat him that way. McGuire couldn't do it. Then he gets hurt, and the second-string quarterback couldn't do it. So I think in Auburn's case, talking to Gus, he knows they're going to be ready to play because they want to – you know, you've played. You want to get over the hurt when you lost your last game. You want to win your last game. And I tell you what, I think this is the start of next season for Auburn because Auburn's really going to be good next year.
And it'll start right there in Atlanta.
That's exactly
right. They play Washington, am I correct?
That's right. Yeah. It was interesting. When you've done your homework.
Three straight.
Early in the morning.
Three straight games in Atlanta for Auburn. Of course, last weekend. They'll play in the Peach Bowl, and then they'll start their season.
And we brought you down south to Atlanta and really educated you on college football.
Yeah.
That's the way Alabama was last year. We had them against Washington in our semifinal. Then they opened the game with Florida State last year. And then last year they played in the SEC Championship. So I think Auburn and Washington next year is going to be two top 10 teams, especially if Browning comes back. Both teams are New Year's Six teams this year, and so we could have another top 10 Chick-fil-A kickoff game next year to open the season.
Gary Stokin, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl CEO in studio with us on Geo and Jones across the country on CBS Sports Radio. You know how the committee works. You're around them. You've seen the process. There was a lot of people that thought that they got it right this year with Alabama, and then there's others that said, well, wait a second, Alabama's resume as far as who they beat, not as good as Ohio State, not a conference champion. with their process, not as much your opinion on who should have been in or who shouldn't have been
right,
in,
right.
But that process, there's some people who don't trust it. They don't like it. They think there's factors that are involved that shouldn't be involved.
Right.
Are you confident, and do you trust their process in coming up with who they come up with?
Yeah, it's a great question. Obviously, the question that's happening this year with Ohio State and Alabama, but haven't sat in that room in Grapevine, Texas. The amount of analytics that you have in front of you is phenomenal, the amount of information they have. Secondly, I think it got down to the coaches really looking at who's the best team. And I can tell you for a fact, Alabama, having seen them play a couple times last year, they would have not lost to Iowa, and they wouldn't have given up 55 points, right? So Alabama had one loss. Secondly, you know, what people don't talk about, when Florida State played Alabama, Francois played three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a Florida State team that was very good at that time. Now with Francois, they didn't have an answer. You know, Blackman's a true freshman coming in. That's tough.
Whatever happened to Florida State after that game?
Well, I think it was the quarterback situation.
You know, what happened to their coach? Is he still there?
Oh, man. He's not doing too bad with $75 million down in Texas.
Ooh, Jesus, Gary. I mean, that's just so much money.
Wow.
But why in the – like, okay. So if you're Jimbo Fisher, right? I'm going to put you in that situation. You're Jimbo Fisher. You hear that offer from Texas A&M. Do you even think twice about going?
Well,
do emotions play in when that much money's on the line?
You know, the way I analyzed it, knowing Jimbo well, is number one, he lost his football operation director, Monk Bonasort, who's from Pittsburgh, is a really big Florida State guy, was really tight with Jimbo. He died last year of cancer. Jimbo got divorced. His wife is still living in Tallahassee.
Say no more.
Scott Woodward is a really, really good friend. They met back at LSU. $75 million. And I don't know if you've been to Texas A&M and seen their facilities. I mean, there's nobody. I mean, nobody. Alabama, Clemson, nobody has as good of facilities as Texas A&M. And then you talk about $75 million guaranteed for 10 years.
It's a no-brainer.
I mean, it's the only thing I would question is, if it was me making the decision, he's got to play in the West now. And the West in the SEC is the toughest division you can play in.
Yep, in all of college football.
In all of college football, mm-hmm. You're right, Brian. And in the ACC, all right, you got Clemson. But really, Clemson and Florida State have removed themselves from the rest right now. I mean, Miami's making their move up,
yeah.
Right? But, you know, it's now, he's got a great recruiting base in Texas, Brian. You know that better mm-hmm. than anybody. But, you know, beating Nick and Auburn, Alabama, Auburn, I mean, That's tough.
And he's got his second game at home is going to be versus Clemson.
That's right.
And then his first SEC matchup is at Alabama. And also a reason why he thought it was time to move on, he and the higher ups, the AD there, they weren't jiving, so they had different ideas on how to continue to build that program. When you watch this selection, they have all this information in front of them. How do they remain subjective or objective, I should say, in your estimation? Because we've seen this committee, and not just this one, but over the last 3 years, you've seen a committee that comes up with different rationale. You know, 1 year, if you're the Big 12 conference championships, they matter. Last year, of course, Ohio State and Penn State, it didn't matter. And this year, again, it didn't matter.
Yeah, having said in there, you know, what we were told when we were selecting, it's really interesting. They tell you to bring your top 25 into the meeting. And then, like, the three of us would sit there and they'd say, okay, who's your top three? So you didn't put in the computer your top three. It spits out who the top three are. Then they say, okay, who's number four, five, and six? You put your next three in. So then when it gets down to the selection process, you really look at every year is different. You know, this team might not have been a conference champ, but they're 11-1 in Alabama's case. The other team had two losses. They lost by twice to 15 points. Alabama, I don't think, got enough credit in the public domain of the Florida State win, which would have been, you know, if they'd had their quarterback, I think they'd have been a lot better than 6-6. And at the time, they were number three in the country. But I think every year is different. I think they leave themselves open. They have some, you know, conference champions head-to-head, strength of schedule, strength of record that they look at. But there's a lot more than that. And I think they're really, when they talk about getting the best four teams, That's what their demand is, the best four teams. How you get there, I think, is different every year.
Yeah.
There's different implications.
See, and that's where I've come, and I mentioned this yesterday when we were discussing the best four teams, is because I'm old school and I'm hard-headed, and I believe in conference championships, but this committee, they don't. So you might as well resign your fact to that important, significant point that they're not going to care about the conference championship. Their task is the best four the way they see fit.
Gary Stokin in studio with us, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl CEO. College football in Atlanta, there's so much going on there. And it could be called the capital of college football.
Oh, thanks.
These days.
Give us credibility.
So what do you think about that with all the happenings? I mean, it sounds pretty good, right?
Well, we've tried to visionary-wise make Atlanta the college football capital. If you've been to Atlanta, the pro sports are successful, obviously, the Braves, the Falcons, and the Hawks. But there's so many ACC, SEC, and other conference people that live in Atlanta that college football is really, really prevalent. And so we took that and said, okay, we've got a great base. We've got the ACC, SEC in our game that we've now moved up to the Chick-fil-A kickoff games. We've taken the college football playoff, New Year's Six. We're now into that. We have the semifinal every 3 years. Excuse me. We have the SEC championship game. We have the Celebration Bowl with the MEAC and the SWAC champions playing for their championship. And then to add the national championship on top of it, you know, we moved the College Football Hall of Fame to Atlanta. You know, we've really taken a look at college football and said, how can we be the leader in college football? And we've tried to do that. You know, it's nice for people like you to say that we're the capital now. And, you know, we'll just continue to bring in great games. If you look at the last year, we had number one against number four in our semifinal in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. We had number one against three this year in our Chick-fil-A kickoff game, Alabama-Florida State. Then we had Georgia Tech-Tennessee on Monday. We had SEC, had number two against number six. We've got number seven against number 12. And then at the end of the year, we'll have number one against number two. I mean, if you're a college football fan, that's some pretty good menu. Right?
I'm sitting there thinking, man, if it's Alabama and Georgia, you know how crazy that place is going to be. And to your point about having the pro teams on the scene, you know, here, of course, this is a pro city. Yeah. I've lived in other pro cities, L.A. But somehow, and I think I know the reason is, but somehow the college game still takes hold. Even though you
really
have those pro teams there, and Atlanta is a huge metropolitan area, very professional, but yet the college football, it doesn't take a back seat to the pro teams.
Well, it's the roots of Atlanta. When you really think about it, and I use this all the time living in Atlanta, I grew up in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a pro town, right? And most northern cities are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the South, Atlanta, we didn't have pro football until 1966. The Steelers are what, 1930 or something like that? 1933
was when,
So you look at all those years, generation after generation of alumni that come out of all those southern schools, and really all the southern schools, you look at Alabama, they're all small towns, Tuscaloosa,
Auburn,
Tallahassee, Auburn, and college football was their pros. That was it. That was all they had. And so you have generation after generation after generation of fans, and that's why it's the roots of college football is based in the Southeast. So, you know, Texas. You played at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Austin, that was it. That was the pro team, right? I mean, you had the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Austin and the rest of Texas, University of Texas is like a pro team.
Yep.
So that's what emanates in the South, and we're just blessed to be a part of it. And, you know, we'll have our 50th anniversary this year.
Is that going to entail? Well, tell me about that party.
Well, I tell you what's great is, you know, we're the...
You're going to be there, aren't you?
I will be there.
Yeah, I will be there.
You know Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're going to be sold out. Matter of fact, UCF, I got a call last night. UCF, one day of sales, they sold out their total allotment of 12,500 tickets.
Yeah, great.
So we're going to be sold out. It's going to be a great atmosphere. We will give back close to $2 million this year that could fall to our reserves to charity. We're the number one bowl game in charitable donations.
Wow.
So that's important to us. Having a sellout, the economic impact that we'll have, and then the national championship the next week, it's just going to be a party for a week of college football down there. College Football Hall of Fame, all the activities. Well,
Brian's in trouble. A week-long party?
No.
what day is this again?
I'm now scheduled to arrive on the 5th.
Oh, okay.
January the 5th, but okay. I may have to come
have
in.
To come January 1st to our game and just make it a whole week.
I may need to do that, but I have doggy duties down in Florida, so I don't know if Hoyer would be happy about that. But as far as the economic impact to Atlanta, it was packed last weekend, of course,
right,
SEC
yeah.
championship game. But what type of economic impact do you foresee now with the Chick-fil-A Bowl and then having the national championship game?
Well, to give you a perspective, we'll have close to $250 million will impact Atlanta through college football. We're the fourth largest convention town behind Chicago, Las Vegas, and Orlando. So the fourth largest in the whole United States. Five of the top six convention/events that are going to happen in Atlanta this year are college football games.
Wow.
That's how important college football is to Atlanta. Chicago can't say that. Orlando can't say that. Las Vegas can't say that. So, you know, as we've talked all along, the underpinning of college football is there from an event perspective. It's also there from a recruiting perspective. We're number one recruiting base in the country, number four overall behind Texas, California, and Florida. The financial underpinnings, when you look at Napa, Home Depot, Chick-fil-A, Coca-Cola, all those people write a lot of checks for advertising for college football. So it's just prevalent there in the city, and you know, we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary around it and have a celebration at the College Football Hall of Fame and Fan Fest, and then we'll keep it all going all week with the national championship coming to town.
Gary, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Best
Always
of luck
good to be with
all the
guys.
Events this year.
You
Thanks
guys need
again.
To come down and broadcast from our game and then broadcast from the national championship. We'll put you in the College Football Hall of Fame or somewhere and let you broadcast.
I'm going to let him bring you up to speed on that.
Yeah, we're not going to have a show past a couple of weeks.
I did hear that. You guys are you're going to
WFAN next door.
Okay.
Oh, he's big time.
And Brian, we don't know where Brian.
You're going to the afternoon or something? Or
you're going to sleep. Brian's going to sleep.
All right.
We're not sure about Brian. Stay tuned for Brian.
He'll continue to bug Neuheisel.
Yes.
Well,
he'll be on television without a doubt.
That's not going anywhere.
We just don't know about everything else. But I'd love to do it if we were still doing this.
Come on down.
Thanks for the invite. But Gary, thanks for the
great to be with you guys. Thanks for having
us. And you're in for a real treat now because you get to see the master in work talk about his pain and what helps him with it.
That's right. Here's the truth. Many of you have simply had it. You've struggled with pain long enough, and you want what I learned: a 100% drug-free answer to your pain. Brian Jones here again for my answer to pain after a professional career in football. Yes, of course, I'm talking about Relief Factor, but the really big news is that anybody struggling with pain can lower or even eliminate your pain with this wonderful product. My problem was I had pain in my elbow. It was completely eliminated within a week of utilizing Relief Factor. Maybe you'd like to play golf or tennis again without pain, or take those nice long walks again, or how about sleeping through the night again without pain? Neck, back, shoulder, hip, and knee pain can be simply awful. Here's what I suggest. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick start, a super value of just $19.95, so you can see if it will help you like it did me. ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. 800-500-8384.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
My voice hurts, my throat hurts from doing that Herm stuff the entire morning.
Well, do Orgeron then.
That's even worse.
Oh.
That one.
That's the best. Mask off.
Blood with that one.
Come on.
No. I can't.
No.
You got to let that one live, you know? Just let it,
no.
let it live.
In one the, more time, then I'll let it live. Right. Just one more
not
time.
Not today.
Okay,
today
not
I'm about
today.
To lose my voice.
All right, but one more time.
1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, any
go,
star.
Go
we don't need no stars.
High character,
and no stars.
Hey, Mike.
We develop our own stars.
I thought that we had to do some things.
Yeah.
Both to get fixed right away.
Go Tigers and take that mask off.
So, Mike, is Jim Brewer, are you planning on him being early at all? Or because we got Jim Brewer in studio and...
He has an interview that's going on right now on the 11th floor. Depends how long they take. And then they said they would usher him down.
All right. I'll still break early just in case. How about that?
Sure.
All right, for Jim Brewer. I want a little Jim Brewer time. That last segment, it's always tough. Do you guys get a Chick-fil-A gift card out there?
I did.
You did. Pete, mm-hmm. you want mine?
Sure, if you don't want it.
No, no, no. It's a gesture to you. It's what it is.
Oh, all right.
It's, cool. It's a gesture.
Sure.
All right, I'll make sure that you get the Chick-fil-A gift card. Just make sure. Don't let me forget, Pete, all right? For crying out loud.
Okay.
All right. All right, Bogus is here.
Okay. Just checking out mine.
Oh, you got yours, too.
I did. A little handshake with Gary on the way out.
And a handshake?
Yeah. Well, I introduced myself.
Oh, did you?
And he's like, oh, yeah, here you go. It's like, thanks, Gary. Oh,
cool. Thanks, Gary.
Just pulls out
throwing
these gift
at people,
cards.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
It's raining gift cards. Happy holidays.
Well, here, you take that one since you're giving yours away.
I don't want to do that.
Take the damn thing.
Don't waste a gift card.
Yeah. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth like Bogus. Did you ask Gary where he got it from or no?
He works for Chick-fil-A. It was pretty obvious.
I was just wondering.
Do you want a sock company?
Maybe.
Gary Stokin looks like a TV sitcom
like
dad.
Gary Stokin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But like a 1990s TV sitcom dad. You know?
Yeah.
It's sitting there with the...
Father knows best.
Yeah, right.
Talking to Alf.
Yeah. Right. What are we going to do about this, kids? You know, kind of has that look about him. Good guy, though, that Stokin. I tell you.
Yeah, right. Likes us. A lot.
I guess so. All right, Bogus, give us something, will you?
Well, guys, Monday Night Football ended with a win for the Steelers. It began with a scare. Linebacker Ryan Shazier in immediate trouble, grabbing at his back and his legs appearing limp after a first-quarter collision in Cincinnati. Shazier taken off the field on a backboard, went right to the hospital. The team said overnight that Shazier did not need surgery at this time and could return to Pittsburgh later today. Mike Tomlin impressed his shaken team recovered to win.
Thankfully, the guys stayed on task, man, and were able to do the things necessary largely over the second half to march back.
The Steelers winning their seventh straight 23-20 in Cincinnati on Chris Boswell's third field goal of the night, a 38-yarder as time expired. The Bengals led 17-0 in the second quarter, 20-10 through three, but committed 13 penalties for a team record 173 yards. Steeler wideout Juju Smith-Schuster flagged for an illegal block on Bengal linebacker Vontaze Burfict and then taunting him. Burfict left the field on a stretcher with a possible concussion, but did eventually walk into the locker room. Eli Manning would like to start for the Giants Sunday against the Cowboys. As he discussed the firing of head coach Ben McAdoo and GM Jerry Reese yesterday, owner John Mara said that decision on Manning belongs to interim coach Steve Spagnuolo. And the NFL suspending Rob Gronkowski one game for Sunday's unnecessary hit on Bills corner Tre'Davious White. Gronk will appeal. Tim Roy handled near tragedy well in New Orleans last night.
Curry might be hurt. Curry is limping noticeably after he fell down.
I guess the crying was off mic. Curry sprained his right ankle late in a 125-115 defeat of the Pelicans.
It was a dumb play because I tried to go for a steal and obviously just a bang-bang. Got caught on Etuan's shoe as I went by him and couldn't catch myself.
His microphone injury on the same play as well. Etuan Moore was the person that got in the
way. Did you see that injury? That was ugly, man. Yeah. He's lucky it wasn't even worse.
Curry had 31 points and 11 assists before the early exit. X-rays last night were negative. Further testing today. The Cavs dissed the Bulls 113-91 for their 12th straight win. The Jazz embarrassed the Wizards 116-69. The Grizzlies beat the T-Wolves 95-92, ending their 11-game skid. And the Celtics overcame 40 points from
Giannis Antetokounmpo
to beat the Bucks 111-100. Jason Kidd unhappy his team fell into a 20-point hole.
We couldn't get our legs moving fast enough during that first half. In the second half, we did a better job. The first half, we were off.
Kyrie Irving had 32 for the Celtics. College hoops, Florida State knocking off number 5, Florida, 83-66. The Noles have won their last four meetings. And the Seattle City Council approved a $600 million renovation plan for Key Arena yesterday. A group from L.A. is funding the plan. The project scheduled to be done by the fall of 2020, maybe in time for an NHL team to start its season, boys.
Hmm. All right, Bogus, thanks. Jim Brewer is here, so we'll take a quick break and come back with the very funny comedian. You don't want to miss it next.
Check us out on Facebook at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What's happening, Jim? How are you, man?
I'm excited about this. I get to sit in traffic on the LIE. Leaving Saturday shows. I can leave my jersey home at 5 a.m. so I can make my 8 o'clock show.
So you live in Jersey.
Listen to miserable Long Islanders.
You're right. They are miserable.
You're one of them. You're one of them, though.
I am.
Why are you so miserable?
I left. I don't know how I got out. And this is what's amazing about Long Islanders. If you move to Jersey, it's like moving to Pakistan.
You move to Jersey? It's so true. I mean,
you dog Jersey all the time.
I do. I mean, because I can't get there. I don't want to go there. It's impossible.
It's because you guys just, you don't leave.
Nah, I want no part of it. I want to stay.
They don't go anywhere.
I know. It's true.
They sit on their lawn and they look at the guy parking in the front. They get out of the chair and they just stare at the guy. Look at this kid. Do it.
It is true. Parallel parking watching is definitely a pastime for all of us.
So was that the catalyst for your escape? You saw all these folks that never left. They were miserable. He's like, I got to get out of here.
I got to entertain the troops. That's who it is. No, I started going into entertainment, and then my parents hit a bombshell. I grew up on the same street my whole life. So we neighborhood. We all knew each other growing up. And then they went to Florida. I said, we're just going to go look at places in Florida. And they came back and said, we bought a home. Went, what? And I went from Long Island, we're saying sick, mint. Dude, that's mint. You see my new shoes? They're mint. And I went down there and there were cowboy boots and Bo Cephas.
What part of Florida?
It was near Clearwater, Palm Harbor.
Oh, okay,
but
yeah.
I never heard a country, and I said, what, you ain't listening to Bo Cephas? He don't listen to no Bo Cephas.
Hank Williams Jr., folks. Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Why you got a dangling cross earring in you? Look, so he got a chain on his wallet. Look at Mayor Stanley. Look at this. What's wrong with you?
So you're telling me you had trouble fitting in?
At first, yeah. And they don't, that's the first time, too, where I realized there really is a little bit of a north-south thing. Like, oh. I would go places and they're like, where are you from, man? Where you get that accent from?
Yeah.
New York. Oh, Yankee, huh? Like, what? Yankee? What are you? I'm a Met fan. No, you don't understand.
You're making me miss home, man. Yeah. I'm from Texas.
Yeah, you don't.
This prejudice is really making me nostalgic.
Jeez.
No, say that. No, don't say that.
But yeah, it was. And then I came back up here, got SNL and whatever, and then I wanted to live in Long Island. My wife wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Really? Well, where's she from?
Like, I can't. Jersey.
Oh, of course. Yeah. She won that battle, right?
Yeah, but now I won the battle doing shows at the Paramount.
You got to get a helicopter. It's the only way to do it.
That's all right. I go early. I'll go early. Like I said, I'll leave at 5 a.m. I should be there by showtime.
Right, exactly. Maybe. Gio and Jones or Jim Brewer in studio. You're seemingly always on. Now, I'm not around you in your personal life, right? But listening to you and interviews that you do, your shows, it's always high energy. It's always on. Is there a balance for you where you're like relaxed and not doing anything, or is your brain always in this like high gear craziness?
Well, it depends my environment. I'm a chameleon. I gotta go high energy, I'll go. If I gotta bob and weave with the comedy and events, we'll go there. Sometimes I'll go like, today we're gonna be speaking about the tragedies. I'm like, well, okay, here we go, let's go here. So no, it depends. But yeah, a lot of times I'm on. Life's too short. So I'm always looking for the funny to get out or to cheer the room up.
Right.
My attitude is we're all here in borrowed time.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter where I worked, whatever I went, we're all stuck here. You know, until you're a gazillionaire. And even then, you're still playing to somebody. Someone's always coming after you.
Yep.
So we're all stuck in whatever we're stuck in. So let's have fun while we're here.
I like your style. Now, when did this entertainment bug hit you? Is there a moment where you can point
yes.
to? Yes. Like,
there was a couple. There was when I was, I think, sixth grade, my brother-in-law asked my parents, do you mind if I play this record for Little Jimbo? There's only like two curses. And it was a picture of a guy with the fake nose and glasses and an arrow through his head. And I immediately, I'm sixth grade, go, he looks funny. It was Steve Martin, Let's Get Small. And he played a record, and I didn't know you can... There was a record where it was comedy, and I just couldn't... I couldn't wrap my head around... This wasn't a band. He was... It was a record, but it was comedy. So that was the first bug, and then I saw Richard Pryor. You know, I waited till my parents went to bed, and they're like, on HBO tonight, don't miss Richard Pryor live. And he came out, and I still have that thing memorized from beginning to end. That guy really started it for me. And then it went to George Carlin, and that was just and then Eddie Murphy was close to my age, so that was like my real big hero. I wanted to be the white Eddie Murphy.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to do.
You mentioned George Carlin. I don't think there's been anybody who's come close to filling that void since he's passed away.
No, and there never will be.
Yeah, then it won't be. And I realized that just recently. I said, stop looking for that because it's not going to happen. Because he was like my guru. I mean, some people have like Deepak Chopra. Like I had George Carlin. I mean, this guy was. He set the path for me on how I was supposed to think on certain things. I mean, I wasn't around in his 70s and his rise, but the books that he would write. I went to one of his HBO specials, and
me too.
He made things feel right to me. And I said, I'm angry about things. I'm cynical about things, and then he would put it in such a way, be like, it's okay to feel that way.
Yes.
And I miss that guy. Desperately.
No, he was brilliant and probably the greatest comedy writer in history.
Yeah.
Where Richard was just natural. He would take every part of life and make it a character. I came out, and the vodka said, go ahead, Rich. You just... And the tire said, oh!
It got good to me. So yeah, it got good.
Right.
Then the police showed up.
And they don't shoot cars. Yeah.
They got magnums, too.
They got guns, too. And I went back in my house. Something about the woods.
Yeah. What a great, unbelievable.
I got this monkey.
Hold it. My monkey died.
Now, don't forget, I'll be chasing you as a monkey. See, now, great to me, still one of the greatest specials of all time. But what I learned about George, he probably has the best of every single bit you could. If you want to go toe-to-toe with a smart bit, he'll knock you out the smart bit. If you want to go observer, he'll knock you out there. If you want to, George was the best writer in history. In history and philosophy.
Yeah.
He had a heavy
still
philosophy.
Still holds up.
Yeah.
Which is
hands down.
And he's been dead for almost 10 years now. It still holds up. It's amazing. He could see things happening. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, I miss him.
So how did you hone your craft? How did you get to the nitty-gritty and say, okay, this is going to be my style? Did you take a little bit from Richard, a little bit from George, and then mash that up and say, okay, this is me?
Yeah, and then the other big influence was Kinison. Sam Kinison was the first. I'm going to say he revolutionized loud.
Yeah.
And he brought the rock star. He was the first guy to ever bring a rock star. We just, you're married. Remember this face. And I've never seen a crowd react like that. So it was a little bit of all of them. A little bit of all of them. And I would go to open mic nights, and you're trying to find who you are.
Well, that's the toughest thing, right? Yeah. And then eventually, even though you're influenced by all these people, you have to find you.
You have to find you.
If you're never you, then you're never going to be any good.
And that's so... You think you know what you are until you get it. And I really, at the end of the day, I'm a blue-collar, street corner, in the garage, hangout guy. I'm the guy people are like, dude, good brew is a pisser. The pisser. He's a pisser. And I want you... Because I vent about my family, and I vent about the neighbors, and I vent about everything, and I act everyone out. And so I'm a family guy, deep moral, blue-collar, family, faith, try-to-do-the-right-thing guy at the end of the day, and I throw that whole mix on stage.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, incorporate your daily life, the family life, all that.
That's all I got.
Stuff.
I don't do politics. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't do any of that. It's even then.
Jim Brewer in studio with us. I love listening to you when you're on with Stern, and I think that he's right now the best interviewer there is.
Oh, my
gosh. But he asked you a question once that I thought was insulting. And then I thought about it a little bit more, and I was like, man, I don't know how I would react if he said that to me, especially the respect I've got for him. He said, you know, I always thought you'd be more famous than you are.
Right? I hear that all the time.
But, like, I don't, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, but when I think about you, I don't think about missed opportunities or should be more famous. Like, when I think Jim Brewer, I think of a guy who's highly successful. Every time you're on, I want to listen to what you have to say.
Sure.
You were there on SNL with a successful run for a long time. I mean, you're going to sell out all these shows. I mean, which are you, glass half full, glass half empty when it comes to that question?
There was a time. Now, I had a defining moment, which I'm really enjoying all my decisions of late. I'm really enjoying my decisions. I like going to bed going, yeah, no, I'm going to wake up in the morning feeling real good.
Yeah.
I got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, right.
You know, so what I mean by that is when I was on SNL, I'm not going to lie to you, I was really taken back. When you see the other side of the curtain, not the cast members and all that, but other Hollywood coming in, you're like, how does the public have zero clue that this exists? Mm-hmm. How does this person get away with that? And how does this one get away with that? And the cutthroat and the mean, and you'll do anything to get to the top. I'll use the word traumatizing. It was very traumatizing. And my wife was very, she didn't care about celebrity or anything like that. And drove me nuts. It was my third year. And she's like, you know, and I start smoking pot. She's like, you smoking pot? You come home and you complain and you're getting mean? You said when a job made you this way, you'd quit. I'm like, you don't quit, son. Is that something? I'm the goat. They're making a doll after me. There's four dolls. I'm one of them. Joe Pesci called me to do a sketch with De Niro. Do you know who I am?
Amazing.
So how'd you find that Xanadu, that place of contentment?
I had a hard time. We started, it ended. The SNL ended, and I said, let's start a family. And that was, my agents at the time, like, you gotta come to LA if you really wanna make it. And exact words were like, I mean, if you're really content with your little family life there, making the money you do, I mean, it's good, but if you want the real thing, you come out here. Ha, 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 ha. We'll make you shy. We'll give you all you ever wanted in life. You know you're better than this guy and that guy. Gonna make you sick and starring, and your name ain't up there. Come out to L.A. Come out to L.A.
And you somehow were able to resist that.
I resisted. And even then, I haven't talked about this, but I truly feel a lot was clipped from me as time went on.
In what way?
I'll give you it's so far gone. Certain style of what I had, okay. I remember people coming up like, hey, man, have you seen what's going on over there? Like, no. What's going on? I just saw they're totally doing what you do, but they change it. And there was a guy I worked with, right, a manager, and I told him an idea. I said, well, I want to be the – I want to go here. It was – I want to do this and that. Let's
right.
get a tour bus.
Right.
Let's be the next rock thing. This has never. I had a band. We were going out. We booked a bunch of shows. Let's bring a crew. And this will be, you know, this has. No one's ever seen this. And I end up, he did some things and I found out, and you let him go, and you're like, dude, I can't have dark. I can't have, hey, listen, I've been working on some things. Like, I see the other side of you now. I see the Sith.
Right.
I can't have Siths around me. I have a child on the way. I need good life people.
Yeah.
And we were right in the middle of the tour, and I found out this is pretty much he sold an idea that became very successful.
Wow.
Very successful. Made multi-millions of dollars, and it was very publicized. And that, I'm like, we're getting guns. We're getting, find me tapes. I'd be in my basement going, I'm getting the tapes of exactly what I told him.
Oh my!
And my wife, she's like, you don't want to be where they're at in life. We have a child. Watch what happens to these people in years. And I tell you, I'm telling you, if I didn't have that.
Right, she talked me off the deep end.
She talked me off the ledge a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. And as time moves on now, and when you deal with things like mortality or someone gets sick in the family, and you get that earthquake in life, and you realize, you know what? My wife and I started living in the attic of someone's house in Franklin Square. For $600 a month, you know, Eric, it's 90 degrees in the summer, and she's like, don't turn the fan on, it'll start a fire. And we're putting baby powder on ourselves to cool us off. No, this will cool you off at night and put a fan in the... All that journey, what I have now, I got three kids in private school. We've traveled every continent. Life is good.
There you go.
Life is good.
That's sweet.
Sorry, we never came out here. Damn you.
Jim Brewer, who is just absolutely amazing at the residency at the Paramount Theater in Huntington, New York. Is there a website that you have? It's got the dates up there, too.
Yeah, I guess officialjimbrewer.com.
Okay, officialjimbrewer.com.
You'll see it.
Yeah, you'll find it. Just find it.
People find it. All the shows are different. It's stand-up. Storytelling, like, you know, if I want to tell a story like this, and I have sets for each one, and it's not just a comedy show, it's stand up, then it's gonna be storytelling set. There's screens on the side with sketches and characters, and then the end, I do a rock improv thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool.
That's just perfect for you.
I mean, it's gonna be
every bit of you out there in this show.
Yeah.
All right, well, we are running out of time, unfortunately. So,
that was great, man.
Jim,
congrats.
Yeah. I had fun. Whatever
Thanks.
Your journey is, good, you know, enjoy it.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
I can tell. It says it all in your face.
All over right.
You got a stack of ones in his bag, and that journey, we know exactly where it's going.
Tell me which way you're going to run.
I just want to know so I don't run over you.
Jim Brewer, check that. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, and free. And only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Thanks to Gary Stokin, Jim Brewer. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.